You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is for people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules, come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. Our guest today is Dr. Amy Johnson talking to us about EPM. I'm your host, Kim Brown, editorial director of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and much more. Dr. Johnson is the Marilyn M. Simpson Professor of Equine Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. She is board certified in large animal internal medicine and neurology and was the first American veterinarian to obtain these credentials. Her clinical caseload consists primarily of horses with neurologic problems, including spinal cord compression, neurodegenerative disease, and infectious diseases. She also provides consultations for farm animals with neurologic disease. Her research efforts focus on improving our ability to diagnose the cause of neurologic disease in horses. Dr. Johnson has worked at Penn Vet's New Bolton Center since 2007 and is the current section chief of internal medicine and ophthalmology. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. I'm really happy to be here and talking about this very important and often misunderstood and sometimes feared topic.
Oh, I know. And EPM has always been a pet of mine since I lived in Kentucky, and I'm now in Wyoming. And, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the different things like that in a minute. But let's first remind our listeners about what EPM is and what it does to horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules of all ages.
All right. So EPM stands for equine protozoal myeloencephalitis, which of course is a mouthful. And it basically means that it is a neurologic disease that affects equines or predominantly horses, actually. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. It's caused by the protozoa, which is a parasite, basically, an organism that gets into the horse. And when it gets into the horse, specifically when it travels to the spinal cord and the brain, it causes inflammation there. And that is what results in the neurologic signs. So that is EPM. And the tricky thing about this disease is that it is the most common infectious neurologic disease in horses, which means it's caused by an organism that gets into the horse. It's important to recognize it's not a contagious disease, so it doesn't spread from horse to horse. And it's also important to know that it doesn't affect people, which is a bit of a relief. There is a related protozoal disease that can infect people called toxoplasmosis, but this is a different species, a different protozoal species. The other thing that's important to know is that it's a really common organism in the environment in a lot of the Americas, actually, both North America and South America. So a lot of horses are exposed to it, and it's only a small percentage that develop disease, which I think we'll probably talk about later in terms of some of the tricky aspects of diagnosis. So it's around in a lot of barn environments, but only a small percentage of horses develop the disease. And when they do, it causes neurologic signs. And the signs can be quite variable. So it can be anything from an unusual way of walking that looks like a lameness to really overt evidence of brain dysfunction, a horse that isn't thinking straight and is acting really unresponsive or, you know, walking in circles constantly, and anything in between.
One of the things you talked about finding this in the Americas, but where can you find EPM? Because I know when I moved from Kentucky, where it's like, it's all over the place. But when I moved to Wyoming, people go, oh, EPM doesn't happen here. But we do have opossums and we do have horses shipping in from other states. So EPM is not just an American problem because horses ship.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of where horses can acquire EPM or how they acquire EPM, the protozoa is basically spread to horses through opossum feces. So the possum is the definitive host for this parasitic organism, this protozoa. And that means in order to be exposed to this protozoa and to acquire EPM, the horse has to eat something that has been contaminated with possum feces or drink something that has been contaminated with possum feces, so food or water. So the disease is certainly most prevalent in areas where opossums abound. What we know, of course, is that horses and the things that horses eat are not stationary. So a horse may spend a small portion of its life in an area where this organism is common in the environment and then move to an environment where the organism is less common, but the horse has already been exposed. And we don't always know the exact timing between exposure to the organism and when the horse shows clinical signs. It's very possible that it's living in the horse for a period of time before they start to show these clinical signs. The other thing, of course, is that hay is shipped all over the country, grain, all of the feedstuffs. So should there be contamination of the food by opossum feces, and then the food gets shipped to an area where there aren't a lot of possums, horses consuming that feed could still be infected.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antech Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them. And how long might this organism stay in a horse? Because we both know of horses that have shipped to Europe, for example, and then have developed neurologic signs of EPM once they're there.
Right. I mean, I don't know that anyone has tested that to be very precise about the answer, but like you said, many veterinarians are aware of horses that developed clinical signs that were eventually diagnosed as EPM months to even years after shipping to a continent or a country where the disease is not naturally found. So it seems to be able to be dormant in a horse for a prolonged period of time, certainly more than days.
Yeah, I just want to know, because we have a global audience with this podcast, I just wanted to make sure and let our other listeners go, oh, it's EPM, I don't have to worry about that. Well, depends. If you have horses shipped over, then, you know, and they have been in an area where EPM is prevalent, then, you know, you got to keep an eye on those horses.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I wanted to mention at some point, Kim, because I saw that this podcast is not specific to horses, but incorporates donkeys and mules, is that we know that donkeys and mules can be exposed to the organism and mount an immune response, meaning that if you check their blood sample, they might have antibodies against this protozoa. But to the best of my knowledge, there has not been a clinical case of a donkey or a mule being affected with neurologic disease, EPM. And so that's interesting to me that I'm not sure exactly what's different about their immune system or their likelihood of getting this disease, but it is certainly more a disease of horses specifically, and occasionally ponies, not quite as commonly ponies, but horses rather than mules and donkeys. So I guess your senior donkey owners can be a little bit more at peace right now.
Oh, well, that makes me happier because I have a little bit of everything at my place. So let's focus in on the senior. So why could EPM maybe be a little more of a problem for a senior horse?
It's a great question. And part of it has to do probably with the horse's immune system. And we all know that as animals and unfortunately people age, our immune systems become a little bit less capable of fighting off infection. And certain types of infections like EPM really require the host or the horse's immune system to contain this organism, because as we previously mentioned, it's in their environment a lot of the time. And it's unlikely that they only come across food or water contaminated with opossum feces once in their lifetime. If they're living in an area where possums abound, they're probably getting repeated exposures. And it may be that when they're in the prime of their life and have a robust immune system, that they're able to keep this organism from making its way into their brain and their spinal cord. So they, you know, even though they're being exposed by consuming it, their body eliminates it or kills it before it ever causes any harm to their nervous system. However, when they get older and their immune system is less robust, particularly if they develop, you know, what is known as PPID or Cushing's disease, pituitary pars intermedia dysfunction, which we know is a very common disease of older horses that leads to immune suppression, they may not be able to fend off this disease as well, this organism. And, you know, in the holistic management of these senior horses, it's something, and this is probably the topic of another podcast, I'm sure, to make sure that you have their immune status in mind and, you know, keep an eye on whether or not they're developing clinical signs of Cushing's disease or PPID, as we should call it, and potentially treat them accordingly to try to optimize the function of their immune system and minimize or mitigate the deleterious effects of that disease on their total body.
And before our listeners start going out and waging war on opossums, keep in mind that they really are can be a beneficial little creature. They eat a lot of ticks and they can be in there. You just want to keep them away from the horses. So how might we manage better to keep opossums away from our horses?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really like possums as well. And not because they're generating neurologic business for me, just because I like them as a species and, you know, what they do to keep the tick population down and other things. So in terms of how you can keep them from spreading this disease to horses, keeping the feed room door locked and keeping them out of the hayloft and not allowing them to crawl around areas where the horse feed is stored is a really important aspect. And I think that goes for other creatures as well. It's best to prevent any sort of wild animal from accessing horse grain or hay. The other thing that I would say is if they are around water troughs and things like that, frequent cleaning of water troughs is probably very beneficial. There was actually one study that saw a decreased incidence of EPM in pastures where there was a running source of water, like a stream or a creek that the horses were obtaining water from, probably because it was not providing these water troughs where the water is stagnant. And if opossums contaminate it, it just sits there. Instead, it was fresh water that was going by and things were being diluted. So keeping them, you know, the water troughs clean is also important.
So do you have any other tips or advice for our listeners to try and either help avoid EPM in our horses or to recognize it and then go about trying to handle the horses as they recover?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of trying to avoid it from the horse perspective, optimizing their overall health is important. And again, making sure that we put them in the best place for their immune system to function by making sure they're adequately fed, they're in good body condition, which involves addressing their teeth as they get older, making sure, you know, that they are as strong and as, you know, holistically healthy as they can be. Keeping the opossums out of the barn, out of the stalls, out of the feed rooms is important. And then recognizing the signs as soon as they develop is important, which of course means knowing your horse, knowing the way they usually move, and looking at them every day if possible. Some older horses are retired out in a field, and while most horses are fed once or twice a day, there are certainly occasions where they may be out in a big pasture and nobody lays eyes on them for a period of time. So really making an effort to watch the horse as it is walking and moving and eating and interacting with its environment once or ideally even twice a day, so that you see those early signs of dysfunction before it reaches a critical point where the horse is really struggling to maintain its balance or, God forbid, becomes recumbent in the middle of a field somewhere.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Johnson. We've really learned a lot. This is a great refresher for me since I haven't been around, a lot of these cases for a while.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It was my pleasure to be here.
And we encourage our listeners to sign up for our weekly newsletter to be the first to get information from My Senior Horse. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast or delved into for content for myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.